This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You belong here. This is your home. Boston es tu hogar. Boston, te la cayu. Tishini de ja. This is our city. We are the safest major city in the nation because we are safe for everyone.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Straight off the set of Outnumbered, ladies and gentlemen, Griff Jenkins, how are you?
I'm good. And, you know, I'm glad you played that soundbite from Boston's Mayor Michelle Wu, because it shows that the $650,000 she spent to prepare for that hearing paid off.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
This is certainly proof of that happening, although there's obviously quite a lot of, I'd say debate that she's right, that Boston's much safer. You'll remember that my colleague Bill Malusian just a few months ago was up in that sanctuary city of Boston where they picked up the Haitian gang member who was screaming profanities. He had been, of course, released because of the sanctuary policy and had multiple convictions in his past. I mean, it was really something to watch, that hearing yesterday, and I'm talking about it today. And I think the part that I've really highlighted is, you know, the video that you may have seen in Denver in the parking lot where the sheriff's office just turns this TDA gang member loose in the jail parking lot, which ICE officers have to chase him down, taser him. He assaulted agents rather than simply doing what ICE asks, which is to transfer him in the safety of the jail. Nobody gets hurt. It's like a perfect example of why is it so hard to simply do it in a safe environment that doesn't threaten agents, let alone when ICE isn't there because they don't know those criminals get out and are a danger to the society.
Well, it seems like a fair question. When you were talking about the $650,000, did she hire like a crisis PR firm to prepare her for a testimony? What was that?
I don't know what legal team that was assembled, but clearly she felt the need to go out. And those of us old enough to remember the OJ days, she put together some sort of dream team, I suppose, to prep her to talk to members of Congress. You know, it's obviously one thing to, you know, appear before and testify in front of Congress. You've got to prepare for that, no doubt. But at the end of the day, like, she's not on trial. She's there to answer honest questions about the policies that she carries out as the mayor. You wouldn't think it would take more than $500,000 to get somebody ready for that.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about, you know, Trump was talking during his speech to Congress the other night about how he deemed like TDA and other gangs, what it was, a domestic terrorist, and how big of an impact that would have. I'm curious, in your mind, what kind of an impact has that had? Do you think that will make a big difference?
You're talking about the designation of the I believe it's 8 total transnational criminal organizations to include gangs like Tren de Aragua and MS-13, designating them as foreign terrorist organizations.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love the question, Kim, because no one really does talk about it. And the answer is it's definitely a huge impact. And here's why, you know, aside from the, you know, notion that if they're a foreign terrorist organization, much like Hamas or Al-Qaeda or ISIS, which we launch airstrikes, potentially you could perhaps launch an airstrike, although there'd be a lot of sovereignty questions with, you know, Mexico's president, but you could theoretically take out or do a raid in Mexico on a fentanyl lab if you had proved TDA was doing it or something like that. But short of that, the immediate practical impact is that we know that TDA, which, for example, I'm just using that as an example here, wasn't even on the radar. They weren't even in America prior to the Biden administration. Now they've set up shop, taken a stranglehold, and are in almost every major city in the country. Now, what are they doing to grow? They're setting down roots, but they're creating financial wherewithal to do that. And so once you're designated an FTO, you have much more latitude to go financially after suspected individuals. And so already behind the scenes, I'm told by officials that they're already cracking down and trying to shut off the spigot of the financial transactions and trying to target them.
When I hear the name Tren de Aragua, the only thing that pops into my head is, Martha, are you listening to yourself? When J.D. Vance said to Martha Raddatz, Martha, a foreign gang taking over even one apartment complex is too much, and you act like it's normal that they only took over 3 or 4, you've really kind of blown this out of proportion. I'm glad those days are over.
Yeah, but, you know, it's amazing to me that this is even a partisan issue. There was a moment in the hearing yesterday, and I need to play it more, of the New Mexico Congresswoman Stansbury, where she was saying this is total BS, literally saying the expletive out loud that what Homan's doing in this crackdown is not making America safer. It's terrorizing immigrant families. And you look at the rapists, murderers, TDA gang members that they're arresting and posting in transparency. How is it not making America safer by removing those individuals? I mean, we're like in a Twilight Zone environment where it's a debatable thing. And, you know, I'll say this. There's no doubt, and I'm not a credit seeker here, but there's no doubt that all the reporting that myself, Bill Malusian, and others did all throughout the Biden years of the border crisis brought people around to say, hey, there's actually something going on. The administration's not telling the truth when they say the border is secure. In fact, it's never been less secure. And that was proved true. Then you found out the November elections that the border moved the needle and may have been the main reason that Trump got elected. And now he's delivering on this mandate. You would think Democrats would start to sing from a different sheet of music and say, you know, we do need to remove the criminals, but we need to work on bringing more good migrants here to get jobs working here, something like that. But they don't. Instead, they just are screaming expletives at Trump about what he's doing, making communities safer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to see the first reports of when our special ops people engage these cartels, because I really believe that's coming next.
It's definitely coming. I mean, it has to come, because otherwise you've got these fentanyl labs operating down south of the border, which then come across and are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. And I will say this, one more quick note before I run out of time here. You know, I interviewed this past weekend the new chief of the Border Patrol, Mike Banks, had him on set, and I was going through all these numbers, and it was a great conversation because obviously he and I can go kind of deep on that. But he even surprised me, Mark. He said, Griff, let me tell you a number nobody's talking about, and that is the number of migrants that die. there a record number under the Biden administration, migrants were drowning. I watched a migrant drown in the Rio Grande and Eagle Pass. It was heart-wrenching to see a woman drowned, couldn't make it across the rapids. But the administration that said they're going to be the most humanitarian in history was exactly the opposite. He says today, migrant deaths right now are down 86%.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good news. And I hadn't heard that one either, for sure. Hey, Griff, thank you, my friend. We always love having you on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there, live up in D.C. for us this morning, covering the Sanctuary City story. Still shake my head at how they think that's a good idea after all the deaths that have happened as a direct result of those soft-on-crime policies. Wow.
Get more at 971talk.com.